Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus. We have been thinking together over a period of several weeks about the subject of what is a true Christian home and what are some of the characteristics of a true Christian home. We have not been able to cover all of the various aspects we could cover, but I've been trying to concentrate upon two particular aspects. First of all, we had a series of messages on the subject of what should husbands and wives expect of each other. What are the qualities that we should look for in a husband and a wife? And of course, these are qualities both of them will have, not just one expecting a very high standard for the other and then not keeping that standard themselves. And then we also pointed out that even young people who are planning to get married should expect very high qualities in the one they're going to marry. The same qualities they expect in their own lives, they would expect of the other person. And I pointed out as a warning to young people that if these qualities are not present, and they're not likely ever to be present, the qualities we spoke of, and we spoke of 10 of them, if these qualities are not present, and they're not likely ever to be present, then it should give the young people pause whether or not they belong together. In other words, their lives are going to be characterized by failure in certain important areas. Now I want to continue the subject that we began, and that is what children should expect of parents. What children should expect of parents. I pointed out that sometimes we would rather have it the other way, what parents should expect of children. But since the children, especially the small children, are probably not listening, I want to speak to you parents. And I want to emphasize again and again that we set a very high standard for the way we live and move and conduct ourselves with our children. And the children have a right to expect this of Christian parents. In other words, when they see a parent who professes to believe something and yet does not practice it, it is not really evident in their lives, then the child will lose faith in the parents, and the child will pick up bad things for his own life just from the example of the parent. And so we've considered a couple of these. We talked about a couple of these, spiritual attitudes, spiritual consistency, and today I want to speak about spiritual concern. Spiritual concern. Over in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3, we read these words. Therefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it best to be left at Athens alone, and we sent Timotheus, our brother, and a minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. Now you find this concern of the Apostle Paul throughout his epistles to these churches. What a wonderful thing it is that even when Paul was separated from them, he had a deep love and concern for them. In other words, he had a burden for them and a concern for them, for their spiritual welfare, for their well-being in every way, for some of the sufferings they were going through. You see this also in Philippians chapter 4, where the Apostle Paul speaks of his deep love and concern for the Philippian people. And it was also wonderful in Philippians 4 to see their love and concern for him. They knew that he was in prison, and they were deeply concerned for the things through which Paul was going in the prison cell, the suffering he was going through, the abandonment by certain of his friends, the various things that he was going to be facing in his life, perhaps even death at the hands of the Romans. Actually, when Philippians was written, Paul was going to be released, but that was not sure. And so the Philippians were very, very concerned. They sent gifts to him, and in every way they reached out to him with their hearts. You see, again, in the book of Corinthians, where the Apostle Paul had set up a fund for the believers clear back in Jerusalem. Paul was over in Ephesus at the time, over on the western side of Asia, far, far, far from Jerusalem. But they had heard that the Jerusalem brethren, the brethren in Palestine, were going to be suffering famine and hardship. And so on that western side of Asia, and then reaching over to the eastern side of Europe, the Apostle Paul set up a fund, and all of the churches contributed for the dear brethren back there in Palestine. And so this indicates spiritual concern. Now, what does this have to do with families? Children need to know that parents deeply, deeply, deeply care for them, and that they have a genuine heart concern for their children, for their welfare, for everything that's happening in their lives. And the children can depend upon this concern. And it's going to be worked out, in fact, in the family life. The parents are deeply concerned. Now, I want to suggest a couple of areas of concern. First of all, I believe that we're concerned about the child's spiritual life. When a child is failing in his spiritual life, the parent is grieved and hurt and deeply concerned over that failure. Many times when a child becomes a teenager, and he's not a little child anymore, now he's a teenager, teenagers sometimes go through times of rebellion. It is very important for the child to know, even when he's in a state of rebellion, that the parent deeply cares about him. And in fact, this deep concern and this deep care for a teenage child is very often the means of bringing that child to repentance and back into the right fellowship and relationship with the Lord. And when a parent doesn't care, or the child feels that there's no real heart concern on the part of the parent, then the child will be encouraged to go on in the rebellion. But the idea of seeing his mother in tears will bring a son back when he realizes, I'm grieving my mother. I'm grieving my father, as the case might be. I'm grieving my parents. They are burdened for me, and they care about me deeply, and they're concerned for me. And therefore, I need to do something in my life. I need to get back with the Lord again, back in good fellowship with him, back in the right relationship of obedience to him and everything. And so we begin with the spiritual needs of our children, whatever these spiritual needs might be. Whenever we see that there are patterns in their lives, and we share the concern with them about these patterns in their lives which are not pleasing to God, we do something. We also need to be concerned about the problems of their children. From the very earliest ages, our children face problems. Problems in school, problems with their schoolwork, sometimes with their teachers. I remember my son, when he was only in about the third grade, attended a school where a teacher had a very insensitive attitude towards her students. My son was extremely, extremely shy when he was young. He's not shy anymore. God has wonderfully blessed his life. Now, in fact, he's preaching. He's a missionary in Hong Kong, and he's preaching there to Filipino fellowships every Sunday. In fact, several times on a Sunday. But when he was young, he was extremely shy. And this teacher was very insensitive to her students. And I remember how this teacher hurt my son by the way she would talk to him, by the expectation she had for him, not in his studies, but just in his shyness, the expectation she had that he would participate in this way and that way in class life. And it hurt my son. And I remember my wife and I had a deep concern for him. In other words, he was going through problems of adjustment to school life, and it was very difficult for him. But my wife and I had a deep love and concern for him, and our son felt it, and I believe that our love and concern was a help to him in going through some of these problems. And then, of course, we need to have a deep love and concern for our children in the matter of the decisions they're making, the decisions of life. They're making important decisions. I have 17 grandchildren, and some of these grandchildren are now in their teenage years. And I observe these grandchildren. As far as I know, all of these grandchildren have trusted the Lord. But they're making important life decisions. And so my wife and I have a concern for these decisions they're making. We pray for them daily. We name them before the throne of God daily. And these children know that we care. They know that we care, that they make the right decisions. We cannot tell them exactly what they're to do with their lives. God will show them that. But we want to be sure that their main concern is to be in the will of God. Whatever God leads them to do, whether it's to ministry or whether it's to be a lay person in some way and minister in that way, whatever they're to do with their lives, we want to be sure that they're following the will of God. We also are praying for them, of course, in other ways. But in these decisions of life, we're praying that God will lead them and God will control them and that God will show them His will. And our grandchildren know this. They know that we care deeply about these things. And so, even in the ordinary decisions of life, we show a deep love and concern for them. We want them to know that we're not simply dictating to them God's will, but that we have a concern that they be in the will of God. And so, these children of ours, the children in our homes, or even children who've already gone from our homes and have families of their own, we continue to show them this deep concern. And the children know that we have this concern and that we are going to be praying for them. We're going to be giving advice when they need it. We're going to be standing with them in all of the problems and the decisions and all of these other things in their lives which affect them. And so it's my prayer that God might stir in your hearts a deep concern for the needs of your children and a deep concern for their lives, that your children would not simply be passing through your home, but they would know that they have parents who deeply care for them, and that what affects the child also affects the parent. Disappointments, problems, decisions, failures, whatever they might be, that whatever affects the life of the child affects the life of the parent as well. So children have a right to expect that the parents will have deep love and concern for them. And this is my prayer for you, that in your lives as parents, you might have this kind of concern, and that as you prepare your own lives for the future, you might prepare your lives in these ways. And may the Lord bless you and help you each one.